We dedicate to learning tonight the Zecha Nishma Shalisha Ita Bas Moshe, whose yard site was today, Tuesday. We left off on the Gemara, Ayin Beis on the Beis. Let's start again from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had a situation, Machlekes Ramein HaChachamim. You have a Ben Pekua, you have a cow that's pregnant, and the Uber stuck out a limb. So we paskin that limb is also Bachila, even if the Uber pulls it back in before Hashech the mother. That was machlokes on the first daf in the Perek. Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion, if the Uber pulls the limb back in before you shecht it, so the shechita is matir even the limb, we don't accept that opinion. Gemara said there's another version, Rabbi Yochanan never said it. Fine. So the Mishnah says, if you have the Uber and it sticks out a leg, so how do you know you're not allowed to eat the leg? So the Gemara learned it out from the word basoda. If the animal is a treifa, it doesn't matter whether it's basoda or ba'ir. What is basoda? What's the connotation of the word basoda? Basoda means chutz l'mchitzase. Kivin shiotza basa chutz l'mchitzase. It doesn't belong over there. So what flesh? It goes on flesh. If you took a korban mincha outside of the azar, mincha is a kachikachim. So the makam of the kachikachim is the azar. So if you took a mincha out of the azar, that's not basar. So you're over an Isser of Yotze, Psul Yotze, but you're not over this La Basa Basar. If you took Kachim Kalim Chutz to Rishalayim, or you took Kachim Kachim Chutz Lazar, that's a Basa Basar, the Trefa Losachel. It's not an Isser Trefa, it's an Isser Basar, it's learned up in the same Pasuk as Basa Basar, the Trefa. So Gemara said the same over here. The Mechitze for the Uber is the Rechem of the mother. So if the Uber sticks out a limb, even if it pulls the limb back in, just like if you take the bus of chutz l'Yerushalayim, chutz l'azar, then you bring it back in, it's already nipsal b'yotze. See here also, once the uber sticks out a limb, even if it pulls it back in before the shechita, it's still going to be asa b'achil. So what if you shech the mother? So the shechita is chal on the uber, that's a din of ben pekul, shechita is chal on the uber. What about is the shechita chal on the limb? So the limb has an isa treifa. So what's a din if you shech the treifa? So the din is that usually when you shech that animal, two things are accomplished. Number one is muta b'achila. Number two, it's not called an avela. If you did shechita on a kosher animal, if you do shechita on an elephant or horse or on a donkey, it doesn't help. It's a behemoth tmei. But if you do shechita on a behemoth tohoira, so the shechita is muta b'achila and it doesn't have an isin avela. If the animal happens to be a treifa, so the shechita will not be muta b'achila, but it'll still be matam dein avela. So here's the machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. The uber is inside the rechemimoy and it sticks out a limb, and the limb is also because we label it basode, the same pasuk as trefa, basode, trefa lo sachelu. So what's the din? You're shechting the mother, and the shechita is chal on the uber. Is the shechita chal on the limb that stuck out? So that's a machleg zameh and a chachamim in the Mishnah. The mayor says no, the limb, the shechita is absolutely not chal on the limb at all. The chachamim disagree, no. The limb is considered a trefa, basa basada trefa lo sachelu. The shechita is chal on the mother and the chelik of the uber that's inside the rechem. The shechita is chal legamrei mikovako, even to be mata b'achila. And the shechita is chal on the ebra hayotzei, like shechita is chal on a behema trefa l'tara midein avela. It's not chal l'hatira b'achila, but it's chal l'tara midein avela. So that's the machlokes Rav Meir and the chachamim in the Mishnah. So the Chachamim are of the opinion that the Shechita is Chal on the Uber, Shechita is Chal on the Eva HaYotze, just like Shechita is Chal on a Behema that's a Trefa. So where does it leave you? So the din is that usually when you Shech the Trefa, it's Metam Dein Avela. That's why we once mentioned Rashi's opinion is that if you know in advance that a given animal is a Trefa and you want to Shech it, what are you going to gain by Shechting it? It's going to be Asa Bachila anyway, because it has a broken leg, it's a Trefa. It'll be mitar medein avela. Okay, so if you plan to shecht the behemoth tahora, which is a treifa, has a simit treifas, so Rashi's opinion is that you say a bracha. Hashem Kedoshon says it's not all shechit, because shechit is chal with respect to the hafkir the tumas nevelas. In Shulchan Aruch we don't pass like that. In Shulchan Aruch it says you always say a bracha al shechita. Hashem Kedoshon says al shechita oiv al asiyasam immediately before shechting. unless you know that the animal is a trefa, then you don't say a bracha against Rashi. Or if you have a suffix, if the animal fell down a flight of stairs, and you have a suffix that nefula, if the animal fell down, it's a suffix. Maybe the ribs were so sharp that they poked a hole in the lungs. Maybe the animal is a trefa inside, but you never know. The left of the shechita, you cut open the cavity and you check the lungs. So the Rama says in Simen Yutes, the Simen of Abichos HaShechita, shech the animal davaila without a brocha, then cut open the chest cavity, then check the lungs, and after checking the lungs you see that there's no trefus, then you can say a brocha. So that's a long shach, has the discussion over there. The Rama is of the opinion that the brocha always has to be recited over Asiyosan, before you perform the mitzvah. And if you already did the mitzvah and you forgot to say a brocha, the Rambam says, Kfarfalm, Mashanasa, Kfarnasa, Kfarfalm, you cannot say the bracha lachar asiyas. You lost the chance and you can't say the bracha. Unless you put on the talus and you're still wearing the talus. So you're saying the bracha, well, asiyasim, you're going to continue to wear the talus. Put on tefillin and you're still wearing the tefillin, so it's still oivel asiyasim. Not oivel asiyasim of putting it on, it's oivel asiyasim of the continuing to wear the tefillin. So then the Rambam admits that you can't say a bracha. But if you did a mitzvah, you took off the tefillin, then you realize, the second after you take off the tefillin, you realize you forgot to say bracha in the morning because you put it on too early before this man Mishiyaka was chaderi. You're not allowed to say bracha. So then the Rambam's opinion is you don't say bracha, and the Ozura says that you may say bracha.
So by a ger that goes to a mikvah, when do they make the bracha?
Oh, so the Gemara says ger, that's important. The Gemara says ger is an exception to the rule. You cannot say Asher Kedushanu b'mitzos v'tzivonu prior to being tovel in the mikvah. So since Akati Gavra Lochozi, the man is not able to say Kiddushan of Mitzvah with Sivona. So there, that was a Takanos Chachamim. The Ger Tov al Viola, when he comes out of the mikveh, he's a very Jewish, then he says the Bracha Lachar Asiyos. Kach Tiknu Chachamim. So here, the Ramos says, if you have an animal that fell down a flight of stairs, and it may be a Trefa, so you shecht it without a Bracha, not like Rashi. Rashi says, even when you shecht the Trefa, you do say a Bracha because Mitar Medein Avela. So it says you don't say a Bracha. Then when you cut it open after the Shechita, you check and you see that it has no Trefas, then the Rambam paskens that you do say bracha. So that's a long shach there. He discusses that the Rambam paskens like the Ozarua, that you can always say a bracha b'di'evid la'achar asiyosa. Let's say you took off the talus, you took off the tefillin, you realize you never said a bracha. So from the Rambam it sounds like he holds la'alocha that you can say a bracha la'achar asiyosa, like the Ozarua who disagrees with the Rambam. Or maybe this is the same as the ger. Just like by the ger, he can't say kedushanu b'mitzvah tzivanu before he's going to the mikveh. He's not Jewish yet; he doesn't have kedushas sisra. So kach tiknu chachamim. The ger tov al v'yoleh, after he comes out of the mikveh, he has to say the bracha lachar asiyosam. If he can't say before, then that's an exception to the rule. Then you say you have to say. Here you couldn't say before either because you knew that this animal was nefula and fell down a flight of stairs, and it's a safik trefa, so safik bracha, so you can't say a bracha. So here, even the Rambam would agree that you can say a bracha lachar asiyosim after the shechita. So that's what the post came on the page, and Simon Yotes, they're not sure that the Rambam paskin like the Urza Rua, you can only say a bracha, you can only say a bracha if you forgot to say oivel asiyosim, you can only say the bracha lachar asiyosim. Or maybe no, over here it's like the ger, because you weren't able to recite the bracha before, because you knew in advance that it's a safik trefa.
By Ne'er Havdalah, we have that same situation. By Ne'er
Havdalah. Ne'er Havdalah is a little different question. It's not a Bichas HaMitzvah. You don't say Kedushana B'mitzvah HaMitzvah. If you're eating food, then you have to say Bracha before you eat it. You don't say after. Once you ate up all the food, there's no more food left. Then you say Bar Nefoshes. You don't say Shahakal. You've already finished the whole cup of tea, then you realize if you got to say Shahakal, so you say Bar Nefoshes. You don't say Shahakal after. So by eating food, the Bracha was instituted before. And by Birchas HaMitzvah, the bracha is supposed to be recited Oivel HaSiyosam, and if you didn't say Oivel HaSiyosam, then it's a machlokes is the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg from the later Tkufa of the Baal HaTos. That's a machlokes, can you say the bracha lachar HaSiyosam? Yeah, but the bracha on Ne'er HaVdoleh, that's not really a Birchas HaNenen. You don't say a bracha every time you turn on a bulb, every time you have a light. It's a bracha that was instituted, it's really a Birchas HaYidur. We express our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to the tradition that the Gemara has. The Rabbanu Shalom taught Adam Rishon on Matzoi Shabbos. Adam Rishon was created on Friday, and then he sinned on the same day that he was created. He didn't even last 2 hours. Then the first hour, I think, that he was created, he sinned the eighth and the eighth Hadas. And then the sun set, and he thought the world was coming to an end. Then the next day the sun rose again. So then he realizes, no, the world didn't come to an end. It's not a punishment. Kachidakar Shalom, the sun sets, the sun rises. Then the sun sets on Matzai Shabbos. So it was dark. So, so how is he going to function in the dark? He can't see anything. So the Baruch Shem taught him how to harness, how to use fire, how to harness the energy from heat and so on. So the Baruch Shem taught him the trick. So we recite the bracha every Matzoi Shabbos. It's a Birchas Hodoyah. We express our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for teaching Adam Harishon about light and about heat and about harnessing the power that you get from the heat. So that's a question. Birchas Shevach v'Hodoyah is always recited after. Let's say you win a lottery ticket and they tell you about it. So you say the bracha after you hear that you won it. You don't say like this. The guy's going to tell me, we have some good news for you. Say the bracha and then I'm going to tell you the good news. You don't say the bracha before. You hear that someone died. So you say, bracha, baruch dayanam, after you heard that he died. That's a bichah shevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that whatever he does is right. That's tzidik hadin. So the bracha bar miyar heish, the pashta says, if you would say a bracha every time you use a light, then it would be a bichah sanenin. A bichah sanenin, you got to say the bracha ever lasi asim. But it's a bichah shevach v'hidoya. Let's say, so when you see a rainbow.
So Yom Kippur is also shevach v'hidoya.
So Yom Kippur also. Also, I don't know, maybe it's like a bracha on the mitzvah that he wasn't, you need a ner shel Shabbos. So Mitzvah Yom Kippur, he says the bracha to demonstrate that he wasn't violating, he wasn't in violation of using the ner on Yom Kippur. It has to be a ner that was on the whole Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Shabbos, if you like the ner on Mitzvah Shabbos, it's okay. But Yom Kippur, if you like the ner on Mitzvah Yom Kippur, you don't say a bracha. It has to be a ner that was on the whole Yom Kippur. And you didn't violate the dinim of Yom Kippur, and then you want to use it Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So it's like a bracha that I observed the mitzvah during the duration of Yom Kippur.
Isn't the bracha of Shechita Matim? It's not really a mitzvah. It's not
Shechita. Yeah, you say Asher Kedushon be Mitzvah Yisavet Tzivana, but is it really a mitzvah? What? It's a mitzvah for a person. The Shech Rav Soloveitchik, he couldn't believe that that's true. He said the Shech, 300 behemoths, he has 300 mitzvahs that I didn't do. He didn't think. I'm sitting and learning. He's shechting behemoths. He didn't think that it's a mitzvah. He thought that the Rambam counts it in the minyan mitzvahs to shecht. So the Rabbi asks, what do you mean it's a mitzvah to shecht the behemoth and ishke mitzvah? The Rabbi writes, he probably means that it's a lava bomachlala say. He doesn't think it's a lava bomachlala say. You shouldn't eat flesh without having properly geshechten the flesh. But it's not that it's a mitzvah to shecht the shecht.
So that's you didn't make the bracha, what would happen?
No, it'll be mutter anyway. You did the shechita.
You did the shechita.
It's a bracha on a matir. The matir is the shechita. It's a bracha on the matir, like when you make an erev tavshilin, you make an erev bichatzeres. There's no mitzvah to make an erev tavshilin. If you're in a hotel, you're not going to lift a finger, you're not going to cook, you're not going to bake, you're not going to light any candles. Everything is taken care of by the hotel. So you don't have to make an erev tavshilin. You only make an erev tavshilin if you need a heter to cook on yontif for Shabbos. Erev bichatzeres. If you think someone wants to carry from the house into the hallway, then you make an eruv chatzeres. No one is interested in carrying, so there's no mitzvah to make an eruv chatzeres. So eruv chatzeres and eruv tchumen and eruv tavshilin, that's a matir, and the chachamim want mesak and a brocha in connection with the matir. It's a different kind of a brocha and a matir. The nusach we say shekereshanu b'mesas v'tzivanu al hashchita, shekereshanu b'mesas v'tzivanu al ha'erev, but it's not really a brocha on a mitzvah, even though we say Kedushanim mitzvahs of Tzivano, it's a bracha on a matzah, it's a different kind. So that's the issue by Havdalah. When you say the bracha bar miyohesh, is it a bichas hanenin, so we should recite the bracha before we look at our fingernails, or is it a bichas shevach v'hidoh, which we always say la'achar asiyosin. After you see the rainbow, after you see the Mediterranean, after you see the Alps, after you see a shooting star or something like that, then you say the bracha bichas shevach or bichas hidoh.
So you do both,
yeah. I remember we once asked Rav Soloveitchik which is more correct. The Yismach Moshe was a Chassidish Rebbe in Hungary. Ihel, he was a Rabbi Ihel. So he has in his Sefer Yismach Moshe on Chumash, his Chassidish Teres, I think if I'm not mistaken, he was the first Chassidish Rebbe in Hungary. If I'm not mistaken, something like that. So he has a pilpul about this. Whether you say the bracha, bar miyareish, before you look at your fingers or after. Pashtus, it makes more sense that it should be after you look at your fingers. So someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, so he said, what's the difference? The halacha says you don't have to look at your fingers. As long as they're close enough that you would be able to read something, if you're so close that you can see the difference between the shine over here and the flesh over here, and you see the shade over here, so you don't even have to look. So he said, what's the difference? The whole thing is irrelevant. What are they making a whole pilpul for? It's not negev. Okay. But in Achronim they have a machlokes, yeah. So Rachamol. So the Hishech, that animal that's a treifa, the Shechita is Metarim and Deinavel. To the extent that Rashi holds that you say a bracha when you're Shechting, even though you know in advance that the animal is a treifa. We don't pass like the Rashi. We pass can, you only say a bracha, Kiddushanim, it's supposed to be one of our Shechita, if it's going to be a mater b'achila. But if it's a treifa, it's not going to be mater b'achila, you don't say a bracha. So here, the Mishnah has a machlekes Ramei and Chachamim. You have the cow is pregnant and the uber has a limb protruding. So that limb is also because basod treifa lo sechelu yotzel chutz lemchitzosai. So Rameh says the shechita is not chal at all on the limb. And the Chachamim say no, the shechita is chal on the limb. It's compared in the pasuk to treifa, just like shechita's treifa is not mata b'achila, but it's mitar minein avela. So the eber hayotze is not muta b'achila. Shechita of the mother is chal on the whole uber with the limb that's sticking out. Benigir to tum v'tara. It's mitar minein avela. And then on the chelik of the uber that's inside the rechem, it's even mata b'achila. The chelik of the uber that's outside, it's not mata b'achila. So that's machlag zameh and chachamim in the mission. So the chachamim have the expression when you cut off the limb. The shechita was chal on the eiver sheyotza, and it's a treifa shchuta. It's a treifa shchuta. So the shulah said a treifa shchuta. There's no tumah at all. So they say when you cut off the limb, it's a treifa shchuta. So it's metamei the flesh of the uber inside if it's touching. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? There is no such thing. A treifa shchuta is not tamei. It's tohar. That's the halacha. The shechita's treifa is metamei de nevela. So that's where Rashi already jumps ahead. Rashi says the last line of Rashi, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The din is mid the rabbanim. In Atar, there is no such thing. When you shech the treifa, it's mitarim den avela, there's no tumah at all. Mid the rabbanim, there's tumah if it touches kochim. If it touches bemas chul, then it's not mitarim. It's only if it touches bemas kochim. So chumim mid the rabbanim b'mekdoshim. That's the Rashi. The Gemara has it later on the next daf. So the Gemara was bothered with a kasha. When you have the behema with the uber inside and the aver sticking out, so when you chop off the aver, what do you mean? The flesh of the uber inside was touching the aver. When was the flesh touching the aver? If he chop it off quickly, so it was never touching the aver? Kozmana was attached. Kozmana was attached. So that's a maga beis hastar. But where was it touching over here? That's the Gemara's kasha. That's the Gemara's kasha. When was it touching? Here. It's right after the Mishnah on Ayin Beis Amin Beis. Gemara says, Amai, why do you say that the Eber HaYotze is a din of Shechitas Treifa? Shechitas Treifa min HaTorah is Metar Midein Avela. But with the Rabbanon, it's Metame Kodoshim if it touches a carbon. Frag the Gemara, Amai, how is it Metame? Isn't Tumas Beis HaStorm? The din is that you have to have Maga on the outside. If I'm Tome and someone sticks his finger inside my mouth, they touch the inside of my mouth, Maga Beis HaStorm doesn't count. Mm-hmm. It's not Metami. So here, the limb that's protruding is touching the uber inside, but that's a Beis HaStorm. It's touching it where it's attached. So where it's attached, that's a Beis HaStorm. So there is no such din of Maga. So Gemara says, should I say that the Mishnah had a Machleg Zerameh and a Chachamim? Should I say, even the Chachamim in the Mishnah who say Maga Trefa Shchuta, maybe they hold like the other Rav Meir. It's Rav Meir over here who disagrees with the Chachamim. The Chachamim also agree with Rav Meir that Beis HaStorm is Metameh. By Odom we have a Pasuk, Maga Beis HaStorm doesn't count. What about Kalim? What about by other things? Is Maga Beis HaStorm Metameh? So the Gemara says, Rav Meir seems told that, where is there a Pasuk that Beis HaStorm is not Metameh? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk is, it says, Nechumish, if a person is a Zav, the Zav touches someone who's tohar, the Yodav lo shata pamayim, and he didn't wash his hands in a mikveh. What do you mean? You wash your hands, it takes off the tumah. The Gemara says, no, it means he wasn't tovel in a mikveh. So why does it say the Yodav? So, my Yodav mi baroi, the hands are on the outside, as opposed to the inside of the mouth, the hands are on the outside, the golui. So the Gemara learns out from that a few things. Number one, that when you're tovel in a mikveh, you don't have to open your mouth. You only need biasmayim on the surface of the body. On the Beis HaStorm, there's no need for Bias Mayim. And number two, then Maga Beis HaStorm is not Metamik. If you do the, if someone touches the inside of my mouth, I'm Tomi, someone touches the inside of my mouth, that doesn't count as Maga. The yod of lashota b'amayim, v'chiga azab b'tohor, I touched someone else, I'm Tommy, I touched someone who's tohor, and I touched him with my hands are me'i baroi, on the outside. But if I touched him because he stuck his finger inside my mouth, so that's maga b'sastar mizdam b'tam. Those are the two dinim you learn out. That you don't need b'asmayim when you're tovel in a mikveh for the inside of the mouth. You know, the Tommy doesn't have to open his mouth or open his eyes when he goes into the mikveh, and when he stands on the floor, he doesn't have to jump up. The Rasha Mishnayis Mikvos quotes that some of the women had a practice when they would be in the mikvah, so they would jump up because they're afraid that the water, they were heavy and their feet were on the bottom of the mikvah, so the water wasn't touching the bottom of their feet. There's no water over there. So the Rash says that no need to have any water in between their feet and the mikvah, because the bottom of the foot also has the status of Beis Hastarim. The inside of the mouth and the inside of the eyes is called Beis Hastarim. And the bottom of the foot is also Beis Hastarim, because a person normally doesn't fly in the air. People normally have the 2 feet on the ground. So the bottom of the feet also has the status of Beis Hastarim, and you don't need Bias Mayim on the Beis Hastarim. So the Gemara raises a possibility. Maybe the whole din of Maga Beis Hastarim doesn't count, only appears by Odom. By Odom, by Kelim, and by Yochlim, you don't have any Pasuk. So do you derive from Odom to Kelim and Yochlim that also? Just like Maga Beis Hastarim by Odom doesn't transmit Tumah, so Maga Beis Hastarim by Kelim and by Yochlim also doesn't transmit Tumah. Oh no, maybe it's only Din by Odom, and Maga Beis Hastarim by Yochlim is Matami. So the Gemara said, that's a Machlik, Zermei and a Chachamim. So the Gemara says, should I say Lema, the third line in the Gemara, and I'm based on Beis, should I say Lema, Ramei L'Tamei, should I say that Ramei and a Chachamim, everything is L'Shitosam, they all go like Ramei there, who's of the opinion. Where is it? It's a Mishnah Kelim. Shlosha Shlosha Shenechlak Tormen Medrus. In order for something to be Tomei Medrus, you have to have the seat, the chair that I'm sitting on. Let's say I'm Tomei Amazam. So the chair that I sit on, I'm resting my whole weight on the chair. So the chair is Medrus. The trousers that I'm wearing, I sit down. The trousers I'm Yuchad for sitting. The socks and the shoes that I'm wearing on, that's Miyuchad. I walk in the street. So the socks and the shoes hold the whole weight of the person. Well, let's say there's a rug. So the rug that's attached to the floor is mechuber, it's not mekabel tumah. If you have a rug that's not attached to the floor, so that'll be mekabel tumah. So the rug is miyuchad for people to walk on it. So that's tami tumas medrus. So it's only tami tumas medrus if he has a minimum size of shlosh al shlosh tvachim. Shlosh al shlosh tvachim. Has less than 3x3 tvachim, it's not miyuchad for medrus. In order to be mekabel tumas maga, if a person his tummy touches a piece of cloth, even if the cloth is not made into a jacket or a shirt or undershirt or trousers or something, if it's just a piece of cloth, that's sholosh al sholosh etzbois. Sholosh al sholosh loshen nekeva, because etzbois is loshen nekeva. And sholosh al sholosh tvachim is loshen zocher. Shlosha, because tvachim is loshen zocher. So in order to be mekabel tumas medrus, in order to retain tumas medrus, has to have a minimum size of sholosh al sholosh tvachim. And in order for a piece of cloth to be mekabel tumas maga, if I touch it, it won't be tumas medrus unless it's 3x3 tvachim and I sit on it or I walk on it. I rest my whole weight on it. But in order to be considered a beged, a kli, even if it's not made into a beged, just a sheet of cloth, has to have a minimum size of shalosh al shalosh etzbois, 3 inches by 3 inches approximately. So the Gemara has machlekes ramei nechachamim. It's not shlosh al shlosh. You had a sheer 3x3 tvachim and someone sat on it. The zav sat on it. He made it into an av hatumah of a medrus, and then someone, it ripped in the middle, and it's no longer shlosh al shlosh tvachim. So do you say it doesn't have tumas medrus, has not tumah at all? Or do you say no, it had tumas medrus, the zap sat on it, and now that it's only a beged, this is 1.5, this is 3 etzbois by 1.5, it ripped in the middle, this is 3 etzbois by 1.5, it's not shlosh al shlosh tvachim, but now it has gimel gimel etzbois. So should I say each half of the shlosh al shlosh has shalosh al shalosh, and by definition it was touching itself. When it was a medrus, each part of the beged was touching the whole thing. But that's a maga beis hastarim. It's maga by definition. Maga, normally you have to have 2 different things that are touching each other on the outside. Here I say by definition, the beged that shalosh al shlosh tvachim contains within it sections that are shalosh al shalosh etzbois. So should I say the shalosh al shalosh are touching by identity? It's part of the medrus that shlosh al shlosh. Ramea says that that's mitame, even though it's a magamet, even though the beged which is touching the medrus There aren't two different things, a beged and a medrash, and the beged is touching the medrash. The medrash, when you rip it to pieces, originally you had shalosh hashalosh hasbaros, each piece. So by identity, it's the same thing, so that's called maga, but you don't have two different things that are touching. So the Gemara considers that like maga beis hastar. So Meir is of the opinion that gzeres hakasu v'yodav l'ashata b'mayim, that maga beis hastarim doesn't cause tumah, that's only by odom. But by kelim, he was talking about a kli, or by ochlim, and the Mishnah is talking about the limb of the leg, that's outside, it's all flesh that you're going to eat. The leg that's outside is a trefa, but the goyim will eat it, and the part of the uber that's inside is kosher b'achila, kosher l'achila, we'll eat that. So here it's talking about maga by ochlim, and the Mishnah and kelim, they're talking about maga by kelim. So Meir's opinion is that maga beis hastarim is metame, the halacha maga beis hastarim is not metame, only by odom. Not by kelim and not by yochim. So that's the Gemara's question. Should I say lema should es harmeir l'taimei? There are meir and the chacham in both. Harmeir holds that it's mamish nevela, maga nevela. The chacham says it's maga treif l'shchuta. So they both are going with Harmeir shita there in kelim that maga beis hastarim is metame by yochim and by kelim. Only by yodim it's not. That's the Gemara's question. Should I say the Mishnah only goes like Harmeir shita? It's very hard to believe that that's the case. Yeah, machlekes Rameir, Rabbi Yosef, dikaris b'eiza maga, b'eiza medrash nogazeh. There were never two different things to say. You had a little beged, which is gimel al gimel etzbos, which touched the medrash, which was gimel al gimel tvachim. There were never two different things that one touched the other. It, the medrash ripped, and it turned into a beged that's roy lekabel tumah. But when it became a beged al gimel gimel, never touched the medrash of gimel al gimel tvachim. By identity, the beged al gimel al gimel etzbos was identical with the medrash that was bigger. So that something by identity is a maga beis hastarim. It's the exact same thing. So the Gemara calls it like a maga beis hastarim. So that's a machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi holds that it's a din. Not only maga beis hastarim by yodim is not mitame, maga beis hastarim by kelim also not mitame. So that's the Gemara's kasha. What's all this kasha in the Mishnah? So you have the cow and the uber and the aver sticking out, and you shech the cow, so the shechita is chal on the cow and the whole part of the uber that's inside the rechem. Then you cut off the limb of the uber because you're not allowed to eat it. Basam asad trefa, yotzel chutz l'mchitzosai. So the limb is touching the flesh inside. It's not touching. Before you cut it off, it's all one piece. So it's all based on stuff. After you cut it off, it's not touching. So when was it touching? That's the Gemara asked, when was it touching? So isn't that a maga beis hastarim? So the old Mishnah, the old discussion in the Mishnah only goes, Haliba de Rameir holds that beis hastarim is metami by Oichlam and by Caleb. And for the Gemara, no, we can answer the kasha. Vavit Marlo, don't we have Ula's comment in connection with the Mishnah and Caleb? Lavit Marlo, don't we have the comment on Marula in connection with the Machlekes Rav Meir, Rav Yosi, and the Mishnah Kelim? Where is the Machlekes Rav Yosi and Rav Meir, where the Maga Beis Hastarim is Matami by Kelim, if the whole Medrash was only Shlosh al Shlosh Shenechlak, it got torn? So after it gets torn, then you have a Shmata that's Gimel al Gimel that's Bois, but you no longer have the Shlosh al Shlosh. So you don't have simultaneously a Medrash which is touching a Shmata. That's just tossing. Before, the whole thing was only a Medrash. And when it rips and it's no longer a medrash, so it has gimel al gimel etzbos, but it's not touching a medrash anymore. So you never have two different things. You have it was touching itself by identity. The medrash had gimel al gimel etzbos in it, but that's called maga beis hastar. So Ula says the only time there's a machlekes is Rameh Rav Yosi, and Rameh holds this unusual shita that maga beis hastar is mitami by kelim. That's only if it's shlosh al shlosh shenechlak, it ripped. What if you have a bigger kli? You had a big beged that was more than gimel al gimel tvachim, and part of it ripped off. And then you have shlosh al shlosh tvachim left over here, so it retains, that part retains the sheer medras, and still has tumas medras. And then the shlosh al shlosh etzbois, when you have a big piece of cloth, and you take a scissors and you cut it, so if someone is holding the cloth on the bottom, here you're holding this piece of cloth over here, this piece of cloth over here, and I'm cutting. So if someone is pulling them in two different directions, they're not going to touch each other. No one's pulling, so when you're snipping, so the bottom of this piece of cloth is going to touch this piece of cloth. Part of it, so after you cut long enough, this is going to remain dollar al dollar, this is going to remain gimel al gimel tfachim, it's going to remain with the tumas medras, that'll be gimel al gimel etzbos, and part of it is going to touch. unless it's a case where people are pulling in two different directions, there isn't going to be any touching. So that's not magabes astar. So that's what Ula says. The only time there's a machlokes in the Mishnah is if the whole medrash in the first place was only a gimel al gimel tvachim, and when you cut it in half, you don't have simultaneously a medrash of gimel al gimel tvachim and a beged of gimel al gimel etzbois. But if you add a beged gadol, a big piece of cloth, and you're cutting a little bit gimel al gimel etzbois from the gimel al gimel tvachim, so as you keep on cutting, you'll reach a point that rivalry detached. They're considered two different begadim. This one has a tumas medrash. It still has gimel agimel tvachim, and this is a beggar that's royal kabel tumas maga. So part of the cloth will be touching over there. So he says, so according to Ula, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. You have he shechted the mother, and then you have the uber inside, then you have the aver outside. So he has a knife in his cutting. The knife and it's cutting, they're not pulling in two different directions. You don't have someone holding the uber pulling in this direction and someone pulling the aver in the other direction that they shouldn't touch after he cuts. He keeps on cutting, he's cutting on his own. No one's pulling in anything in any direction. He cuts on his own. So when he first starts to cut, so the two are not touching. Then as when he's almost to the end, then part of the flesh of the aver is going to touch. Part of the flesh that's inside is going to touch the uber. So as you're cutting, after you cut ruba, you'll have two different things. That's already not maga beis hastar. That's maga mi baroi, maga mi bachutz. So that's what the Gemara says. According to Ula, we have the answer. Lo shanu ela, when is there machlokes, Reb Yosi and Reb Meir in the Mishnah and Kalim? If it's shlosha shlosha shenechlak, so you don't have simultaneously a medris that have shlosha shlosha tfochim with a beggar that has shlosha shlosha tzpos. Avashalosh alshalosh habos and beged goli had a big piece of cloth, and after he cut off a little piece, the gimel al gimel etzbos, he still have the gimel al gimel tvachim. So it's lo yimaleit. Probably it will touch at the end. It'll be touching because no one's pulling it in two different directions. There'll be overlap. It's got to touch. Avashalosh alshalosh habos and beged goli b'shas prishas me'avim lekablas tumah me'avim. It's a mago anami here too. In our case, three lines from the bottom. B'shas prishas me'aver lekabel tumah me'aver. As he's cutting the aver off from the rest of the uber inside, so it's lo yimaleit, part of the aver that's already cut off, he didn't cut off the whole aver, part of it is going to be touching the uber inside.
If you use the hatchet, you wouldn't have this problem.
Wouldn't have the problem, it wouldn't be so, right. But if you're cutting slowly, slowly, slowly,
if you use the hatchet, you wouldn't have the problem.
Right, or like if people are pulling into a different direction, so it also wouldn't be. Also wouldn't be. So that's Ula's answer, that the Mishnah is talking about a situation that you're cutting it without a hatchet, no one's pulling in two directions. So it's Lo Yimaleit is going to touch at the end. And Ravina gives a different answer. Ravina says, Beged, the Mishnah in Kalim, where there's a machlekes between Rab Meir and Rab Yosi, and we don't pass like Rab Meir. Rab Meir holds a maga beis hastarim is metame by Kalim, only by Odom it's nismite, but by Kalim it is metame. So the beged is lav lachaticha koi. If you normally have a beged, it's not oimid lachaticha. If you have a medris, let's say, you have a cover on top of the couch. So the couch and the whole cover on top of the couch, it's more than gimel a gimel tvachim. So the whole thing is a tomei tumas medris. So it's not oimid lachaticha. So then you say there's an issue after you cut it up, and it no longer has the gimel a gimel tvachim, it has gimel a gimel tvachim. Do you say the fact that by identity, it was the exact same beged to begin with, is that called, that's a maga beis hastarim, is that mitami? So there, there's a machlokes. But over here, beged, lav lachaticha koi, but the uber, here we're talking, I shech the mother, and the shechit is chal anu, but what's he going to do with the mother? Nuba is going to eat everything. It's all flesh. So flesh, what are you going to eat? A whole animal? The flesh, it's zayme lachaticha. You're going to cut it up in little pieces and eat it. So since the flesh, uber, lachaticha koi, it's zayme lachaticha, so I treat it called oimed lachtach chotach domi. I consider, since it's oimed to be cut up in little pieces, I consider it as if it's already separate pieces now. So I say that the outside part is touching the inside part. I treat it as two different things. It's not called beis hastar. I don't treat it as one unit, because oichlem are always oimed lachaticha. Chotach domi. Since called oimed lachtach chotach domi, it's oimed to be cut. So therefore it's considered as if the two different things that are touching each other on the outside. It's not maga beis hastarim that by definition it's the same kli. I had a gimel al gimel tfachim that converted to become a gimel al gimel tzbos because it ripped in the middle. So it's touching itself because by identity it was the same thing. No. It's kalay melachti kachatach dami. Frek de gemar, but we don't pass like that. Kalay melachti chida. That's only Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion is that? Vaitekir Abmeir, this none. There's a Mishnah Mikvos. Mishnah says in Mikvos, let's say you have a Kli that became Tomei, and you want to be Toifel in the Mikvah. From the four things, four categories of things that are Mekabal Tumah, Odom Mikelim, Ochel Mamashkim, so there's only Tara in the Mikvah for Odom Mikelim. Ochel Mamashkim, there's no Tara in the Mikvah. The only, Rashi obviously, there's one exception to the rule, water. If water became Tomei, you can do Hashoke. So Rashi, every time the Gemara says, only Odom Mikelim, Ochel Mamashkim, have the Tara Mikvah, so Rashi goes into the whole Arichas. If mine became tummy, you do hashoka. It's not that it has tefillah v'mikveh, it's midin zriya. If you have a potato that became tummy, you plant it in the ground, it takes root. So once it takes root, it's mechubah l'karka, so it loses the tumah. Even though it already was mekabel tumah before, it's oichal ma'ichal adam, it loses the tumah. So there's a pasuk that says, v'zareyamayim al p'nei chutzas. When you pour water into a puddle, pour water into a mikveh, pour water into a puddle, that the Tanakh considers it as if it's zriya, zareyamayim. As if you planted it. It's not really Zriya. Zriya is when something takes root in the ground. But water onto a puddle of water is considered Zriya. So it's Tor Midin Zriya. It's not Tor because you're Toivel in a mikveh. It's considered because it's Mechuba Lekarka. So the din is if you have Kalim that are Tomei, you have to be Toivel in the mikveh, they'll become Tor. This Klicheris has no Tar the mikveh. If it's a metal Kli or a wooden Kli, so then it helps Tar the mikveh. So let's say you have a pot that has a very long handle. And you can't handle such a long handle. It has 2 feet long. It's going to get in the way. You can't use it. So you plan to cut it off. What's normal? How long do you have a normal handle? 4 inches, 5 inches. You don't have such a long handle, 2 feet long. So let's say I had such a kli, and it has a long handle, 2 feet long. I didn't have a chance. I'm going to cut it off because it's getting in the way. It doesn't fit in the sink, and I can't put the other 3 pots on the burners, and I can't put it into the closet. The handle is too long, and it gets in everybody's way. So I'm going to cut it off. But I didn't have a chance to cut it off. It already became tummy, and I want to be toivel in the mikveh. So do you have to be toivel the entire pot with the whole long handle at 2 feet of the handle? Or do you say, no. Since you plan to cut off the handle after 4 or 5 inches, that's the maximum that you have. It's not normal to have a longer handle. It depends. If it's not normal to have more than 5 inches, so you only have to be toivel in the mikvah up until the end of the 5 inches. You don't have to be toivel the rest. That's a machlekes hatanoim. One should say should be a chatzitza and beis hastarim. You're going to be toivel the kli. Let's say here's the kli. You're going to be toivel the kli in the mikveh, and then you're going to have a foot and a half of handle sticking out of the mikveh. So the kli is under the water, touching water on all the sides. And it's only considered a kli up until 4.5 inches of the handle, and then the rest of the handle is not part of the kli. So it's not part of the kli, so there's a chatzitza, the tip of the handle is not touching the water. The tip of the handle is touching that part of the handle that you're going to cut off. So shouldn't that be considered a chatzitza on the tip of the handle? So the Rashi on Mishnayos asks that kasha. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a chuvah, he quotes that Rashi, it's Negel Laloche. So the Rashi answers, that's called Chatzitza on a beis hastarim. A person is tamei and he's toivel in the mikveh, and it happens that he has a chicken bone got stuck in his teeth. So the Gemara tells a story that Amsa de Bei Rebbe, one of the maids in Rebbe's home, was a shivcha kdainis, and she was toivel in the mikveh, and then after she came out of the mikveh, she realized that she had a bone stuck in her teeth. So Rebbe insisted she has to be toivel a second time, even though you don't need bias mayim. There's no need to open the mouth when you're toivel in the mikveh, but chatzitza in the beis hastarim does pass. So that's a machlokes harishonim, whether that din, chatzitza, even though you don't need bias mayim in the mouth, but if there's a chatzitza in the teeth, then it is makiv in the tefillah, is that a din deraisa, a din derabban? So the Ritva holds that it's only a din derabban, and the Tosafot holds that it's a din deraisa. It's unclear what the Shulchan Aruch holds. How does the Shulchan Aruch pass like this? So the Shulchan Aruch says if a person was toivel in the mikveh, and after he's toivel in the mikveh, then he realizes he has a chatzitza in the mouth, and he's not sure whether the chatzitza was there before he was toivel or the chatzitza developed after he already came out of the mikveh. So it says you go to kula. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says you go to kula. Sounds like the whole din of chatzitza in the mouth. Chatzitza in the beis hastarim is only the rabbanon. So Rabbi Moshe has a whole shtickle Torah why he thinks that it doesn't prove the point. He thinks that it could be the Shulchan Aruch paskens that it's a din deraisa. Chatzitza in the beis hastarim like Tosafot Shita, Tosafot holds beferish. Chatzitza in the beis hastarim is a din deraisa, and still you have a right to go to kula. He says it's keneged cheskas heter. If you have a chatzitz on the outside of the body, so there was no tefillah. If you have a chatzitz on the inside, you don't need bias mayim on the inside. So it does haste that he was tevil, but the chatzitz apostles the tefillah. So since there was a tefillah, because you don't need bias mayim on the inside of the mouth, and chatzitz inside apostles, so that's considered his becheskas tohor, and the chatzitz should apostle. So that's a sfeika deraisa lekula because you becheskas tohor. That's what Moshe says. He thinks he can't prove on the Shulchan Aruch. The recent posts came in the last 100 years or so, they all tend to say like the Ritva, the Chatzitz and the Beis HaStarim is only Midirabbanan. It's only a Gzera Midirabbanan. If you allow the person to be Tovel with Chatzitz inside his mouth, he may do make a mistake. Be Tovel with Chatzitz on the outside of the body as well. So that's a Shalos. So the Rasha Mishnayis Mikvois asked this Kasha, when you Tovel the Kli with the long handle, with the long arm that has 2 feet long, and that's not normal. The longest you ever need a handle on a frying pan or on a soup pot is 4.5 inches. You don't have a 2 feet long. So according to the Tana, that you only have to be toggled, Rav Meir Sheet, you only have to be toggled up until 4.5 inches. The rest you can hold the handle outside of the mikveh. So effect akasha, but there's a chatzitza on the tip. The handle only goes till 4.5 inches, and then the tip of the handle didn't have bias mayim, because it's stuck on, it's still attached to the rest of the handle. You didn't have a chance to cut it off yet. There's not a chatzitz on the handle. So the Rashi answers, but it's a chatzitz beis hastarim, because now it's all one handle. So chatzitz beis hastarim, they were only machmer by Odom, they were never machmer by Caleb. Moshe quotes that Allah HaLamaisa. It sounds a little bit as if he holds like the Ritva. Sounds as if the Rashi holds like the Ritva, that the whole din of chatzitz beis hastarim is only a chumer midirabbanan. So they only introduced the Chumah by Tfilos Adam, they never introduced the Chumah by Tfilos Caleb. That's what it sounds a little bit like. So Rav Moshe quotes this, Halacha L'maaseh, Rav Moshe has a Shaila, if you have a samovar, and you bought a samovar from a Nochri, so there's a mitzvah, Tfilos Caleb, if you buy forks and knives, or you buy pots and pans, a Caleb that you eat food, or that you prepare food, you cook food, so you're supposed to have a mitzvah to do Tfilos Caleb. If you didn't do Tfilas Kelim, the food is not treif, but you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. Matfafelt a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do Tfilas Kelim, if Kelim anik chamin anoch. So the Shaila is, what if you buy samovar from the Nochri? So do you have to be toivel the whole thing with the element on the bottom? So Moshe thinks that Ishnei Kelim amuchubarim yachad. He says the whole top of the samovar that holds water, that's a kli hamachzik oichlin. So if that part needs Tfilas Kelim. The bottom part, that's the element, that's a separate kli. That's like you put a pot on top of the stove, and then you have the burners on the stove, then you have fire on the bottom. So here, the element on the bottom of the samovar, that's one kli, and the upper part is the upper part above the floor of the samovar, that's a kli that's machzik. Moshe says, turn your samovar upside down, and have the water go in. That's a trick. How do you know the water's going to go in all the way to the bottom? Maybe empty. Huh? At an angle, okay. So he says, hold the samovar upside down. You only need tefillas kelim on the part of the samovar that contains the water, and the part that's the element doesn't need tefillas kelim. But then he has the kasha, but isn't it a chatzitza? The bottom of the samovar really needs tefillah, so you were tovel in the mikveh till that point, but you have the element. You turned it upside down, so the element is preventing the bias mayim from touching the bottom part of the samovar. Isn't that a chatzitza? So he quotes this Rashi in Mikvois. That's called the chatzitza in the Beis HaStarim because it's attached. That's how they manufactured. The element is attached. Chatzitza and Beis HaStarim, they were only machmer by Odom, they were never machmer by Caleb. That's why Rashi quotes that Rashi, Halacha L'maaseh. So that's what the Gemara says over here. There's a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Usually when it's Rav Meir and the Chachamim, it's Rav Yudah. Rav Meir, usually he was a contemporary of Rav Yudah. It was contemporary of other Tanoim as well, but whenever it doesn't say the name, it's assumed that it's Reb Yudah. Here there's another Girsa that says Beferish Reb Yudah. So the Mishnah on top line on Ayin Gimel, Kol Yaras HaKelim Shehem Aruchos, it's way too long. The handle of the frying pan is 2 feet long. That's not normal. The maximum you have is 4.5 inches. Vasid Lekotzitzon, and he plans to cut off the part that's past 4.5 inches. So it became Tom, he wants to be Tevelet. So Matbel Admoka Mido Divri Reb Meir. He only has to be tabled the first 4.5 inches. He can hold the extra foot and a half out of the mikveh. Doesn't need tefillas kelim. It's not part of the kli. Because kol ha'malach techotach domi. And Reb Yehuda disagrees. Reb Yehuda Omer, Chachamim Omer, it doesn't matter what the Gemara says, we know it's Reb Yehuda. So whoever disagrees with their mayor is usually Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda Omer, Ashiyat Belas Kula, Kozman, you didn't detach the handle, you didn't cut off the extra foot and a hair from the handle, that's still part of the Kli. You don't say, Kalayim Alachta Kachat Dami. So that's what the Gemara says. You're telling me that a beged is Lab Lachaticha Koi. So that's why there's a machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yosi in the Mishnah and Kelim. If you had the medrash that's dalet al dalet and it ripped, and now you have gimel al gimel etzbois, but you don't have simultaneously a dalet al dalet with the gimel al gimel that are touching two different things touching. The gimel al gimel etzbois was part of the gimel al gimel tvachim. Was part of the gimel al gimel tvachim. So that's the Gemara calls that tumah by identity. It's the same thing. It used to be a medrash. Now it's only a beged. That's where the Kabbalah so it was touching itself, because before it became a shmata, before it became a piece of cloth, it was a medrash, and now it became a piece of cloth. So the piece of cloth was touching the medrash. There weren't two different things touching by identity. It's the same thing. So that's the equivalent of a maga beis hastor. So the Gemara says, when do you consider that a maga beis hastor? That is a machlokes, Reb Meir and Reb Yosi. That's because the beged is not oy melachaticha. The cloth cover on the couch or the cloth cover on the chair is not meant to remain like that. Gimel gimel tvachim. But when it comes to food, I say kalay melach tekachat tekdami. So it's considered as if it's already separate, two different things, and the one is touching the other. You don't even need like Ula said before, because when you keep on snipping and you get to the end, so part of this is going to be touching this. You don't even need what Ula said. Even if it's not like that. The two pieces are touching each other, that's maga mibachutz, because kalay melachtach kachatach dami, it's considered two different things. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean kalay melachtach is a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah? We don't pass like Reb Meir. We don't pass that like Reb Meir. Kalay melachtach, we pass like Reb Yudit. Atyat pelot kuloi. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha. I feel the tamer rabbanon, even if you hold like Reb Yudit, that you don't say kalay melachtach kachatach dami, when do you not say it? That's by a kli. Because you have a long handle that's 2 feet long, and you're going to cut off the last foot and a half, you have to have a saw to cut off the metal. But over here, by flesh, everybody knows how to cut flesh. You don't have to be an expert to cut off the foot and a half extra from the handle. You have to be a bal malochen. But to cut off a piece of flesh from the rest, so that I feel the tamer rabban, even if you're like Reb Yehuda, who denies kalay melach tekachat derami, achibur yechon command the mifrisi dami. If there's oichel that's attached, a big piece of flesh, you have the aver that's protruding and the uber that's inside. It's all flesh and flesh, and flesh is aymed lachtach. You're going to slice it. No one's going to sit and eat the whole thing. So it's aymed lachtach, and you don't need an expert to cut it. You take a kitchen knife. Everybody has a knife. You can cut it. So there you say kalem lachtach kachatach dami, and the giba hadodi, and the two are touching each other. So it's mamish maga. It's not a maga by definition, because it was the same thing. They're considered two different things already now. So we have a chumra that a woman goes to mikveh, has to cut off her fingernails. The women usually insist that they should cut the fingernails very long. Religious women calls man that is still going to the mikveh, so they don't let their nails grow very long, because the rabbi has such a chumra. If you have nails and you plan to cut them off, so kolay malachtach, so it could be that bit of the extra nail, or let's say a woman needs a haircut and she goes to the mikveh tonight, but she really needs a haircut and she had no choice, she's going to the barbershop tomorrow to cut her hair. So the rabbit says, you don't need such a mumche to cut off the hair. She can cut off the hair herself. She's not going to do a good job. But anybody, a layman can cut off the hair. A layman can cut off the fingernail. You don't need it. It's not like the handle of the pot that's two feet long. You have to have someone who has a saw that cuts metal. Most people don't have it. So there, we don't pass like Rav Meir kol ha-malach t'kachat t'chdami. But on the fingernails and the hair, since a layman can do that, so everyone would say that whatever kol ha-malach t'ch, it is a malach t'ch, because a layman can do it. Kol ha-malach t'kachat t'chdami, so it'll be a chatzitze. So there was no bias maim on the tip of the fingernail, because it's only considered a fingernail as part of the body, the bottom part. And the upper quarter of an inch that they plan to cut off is not considered part of the body. So that's a chatzitza with the rest. Here it's not a chatzitza because it's based on storm in a kli. But on the human body, that's based on storm, it's also based on storm. The extra part of the nail, or the extra part of the hair that I plan to cut off to detach, that's a base hastorim. But a chatzitza base hastorim ba'adam, so that we do, we are machmer. Base hastorim ba'adam, there is a din of chatzitza. So that's the famous Raibit Shita. In Shulchan Aruch it's assumed that the Raibit Shita is only a chumer. Ikar Adin, there is no such thing. Because chatzitza is, if you have an external thing, that's a chatzitza. But the hair and the fingernails grow on the body. That's natural. How can you say the hair? And some people like to have long hair. Some people like to have long nails. How can you say? Because normal, most women want to have a shorter hair. Most women want to have shorter nails. So this woman plans to cut it off. So they say, the extra part of the hair that she plans to cut off is already a chatzitza on the base hastorim. A chatzitza base hastorim passels it to you. So mikra, then there is no such thing because it's all an extension of the nail. It's all an extension of the hair. But that's the chumra in Shulchan Aruch. So it says, what if a woman went to mikveh, and then after she went to mikveh, she realizes she forgot to cut her nails. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they say, if Lailana in Baila, she didn't go to bed with her husband yet, so we should tell her, cut off the nails and go to mikveh a second time. But if Lana in Baila, she was ready with her husband, so then you're going to tell her she should cut off the nails and go to mikveh a second time, implying that she was with her husband, she violated an Issa Kares. So we don't, that's not true, because we're not paskin like the rabbi, it's only b'toras chumra. So if Lana in Baila, that's called Bishas Hatchak, Lana Bailish, not to impute that she violated the Issa Nida. So we say, leave it the way it is, you don't have to be table again. So whenever you make a Bishas Hatchak, means that that's the Iker Adin, means that we really paskin like that. We don't paskin like that rabbi. The rabbi is a chumra. But the rabbi got it from this Gemara, that the Gemara made a distinction between Yodas HaKelim and Oichlim. But Yodas HaKelim, the Rabbanan rebuted, disagrees with Rameya. You don't say Kalai Malach to Kachatach, because you need an Uman. Need an expert to cut it. Masha'enikain by the flesh, anybody can cut flesh. That's chiburi oichlim keman nemifisi dami, is considered as if they're separate things and they're touching each other. So that's separate. That, the rabbi got it from this Gemara.
A woman could say that a nail normally, she doesn't want to cut it less than a certain amount. Would the rabbi agree with that?
Yeah, mikra din, that's not a chatzitza, right. Abchai Moise has a tshuva about that. Abchai Moise lived in Vilna before the war, so they already pitched riches and didn't want to follow the minig. Minig always was that you cut the nails till where the flesh is. You cut the nails all the way down. So he says, if a woman has nail polish, colored nail polish on her fingernail, that's mamsha chatzitza, but it's only chatzitza miut. The din is menator, it's only chatzitza if it's ruba umakbi. If roiv of the surface of the body is covered with a chatzitza, very rare, and the person is makbid, let's say there's ink all over, so that's rubai of the person, and he's makbid, he wants to get off. If a person is a scribe, a person is a painter, he walks around all the time, he goes to a wedding, he's all full of paint. Even when he goes to a wedding, even on Shams Yantam, he leaves all the paint on him. So that's eno makbid. So that's the minatar, it's not a chatzitza. So minatar, it's only chatzitza if roiv of the body is covered with a chatzitza and the person is makbid. So that's the shaila. If a woman has paint, nail polish on, and the nail polish doesn't look so good, so she's going to take it off. If she's going to go to a wedding, she's going to remove it and paint on new nail polish. So that's a miut. That's a miut hamakbid. It's only a miut of this. That's only a chatzitza midrabbanan. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe says, as a matter of policy, we don't allow the woman to be toivel in the mikveh, and even if the alternative is she's going to go back to her husband and violate the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, she'll violate the din deraisa, so be it. We're not achray. Our policy is you have to observe the din of the Rabbanan, and as nit, we don't let you use the mikveh. But if she wants to have longer fingernails, a mikra adin, that's not really chatzitza, that's only a chumra. It's not that that's a chatzitza in the Rabbanan, that's only a chumra from, based on the Ravid. That's a chumra, an extension of the Ravid, that the minig was that they always cut off, they always have short nails. But strictly speaking, they want to have longer nails, and she never wants to make it less than that point, so that's not a chatzitza. That's only a minig. So he says, if the woman wants to violate the minig, we can't prevent her from using the mikveh because of that. But if she wants to violate it, then the Rabbanan, then we do prevent her from using the mikveh.
Rabbi, I don't understand that. When we talk about a piece of cloth that we're cutting, originally the whole piece of cloth His tummy.
Tummy medres and avatuma. It's an avatuma, right.
Okay, so when we're cutting off a part of it.
See, if it's a gigantic piece of cloth and you still have dalet al dalet, that still retains the din of a medres, that part is still an avatuma.
Right.
And this part that's only gimel al gimel, it's boys. What do I keep saying dalet al dalet? Gimel al gimel, tfachim, as opposed to gimel al gimel, it's boys. So if the big part, the begad gol, the big part's still going to retain gimel al gimel tfachim, and the little part is going to have gimel al gimel, that's boys. So they're two different things. So this will be a kabbal tuma from that, because as you keep on cutting, no one's pulling the cloth in two different directions.
Huh? It's already
tummy. No, it's already tuma smedris, yeah. But once it no longer has gimel al gimel tfachim, it can't retain the tuma smedris. You need gimel al gimel tfachim to be mekabel tuma smedris and to retain tuma smedris. Just like if you have a kli that was mekabel tuma, then it smashes. So shviras kli is mitahir the kli, even kli cheris, which has no tahir be mikveh, but you shavir if you smash it, so it can't retain the tuma, it's no longer a kli. So in order to retain the din of medris, it has to retain the shira of gimel al gimel tfachim.
But it can be once it's smaller and then it touches, then it becomes again a kli, then it can become medris again?
If I not a medris, it's a kli that's touching a medris. Add this big piece of cloth that's 5x5 tfachim. And I cut off a little bit of shmata cloth in the corner, so this still has gimel al gimel tfachim. This still has medris. Medris is an avatumah. It's metami od mikalim. And then I cut off the cloth over here that has gimel al gimel at tzbois. So that's a piece of shmata that gimel gimel tzbois can be, it's a kli, can be mekabel tuma from the medras. So if I'm pulling them in two different directions and they're not touching each other, then there was no maga, Ula says. But if I'm not careful, I'm just cutting, so it's lo yimalet. Part of the little shmata that I'm cutting off is going to probably touch the bigger piece of the medras. So it'll transmit tuma. This avatuma will transmit tuma. It won't become a medras because it's only gimel al gimel tzbois. It'll be a maga medras. It'll be a rishon tuma. The medras is an avatuma, and the little piece of shmata cloth will be a rishon tuma.
With the limb sticking out.
Right.
When does it become? When does it get the tuma of nevela, a trefa? Well, it doesn't. A trefa is not tuma. It's a nevela. So we consider it a nevela.
Right.
So I thought at the beginning we said that no, this is. It's not really a nevela. It's just comes under this concept of.
That's the machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim, whose opinion is accepted, they say it's not a nevela. The limb that's sticking out is included in the pasuk basa basara trefa. So just like if he shecht the trefa, the shechita is mitam ne nevela. He is shechting the mother. The shechita is chal on the mother and the uber that's inside. The shechita is chal on the eber that's outside with respect to mitam ne nevela. The shechita on the mother is chal on the uber that's inside legamrei to be mata lachila. It's only chal on the chelek ha'aver outside with respect to the time of the nevel. Rav Meir says, how can it be? It's chal lachatzoin. Shechita is chal on the aver hayotzi only the time of the nevel, and not mata b'achila. And on the chelek of the uber inside, it's chal even mata b'achila. It can't be. So Rav Meir is of the opinion, once you shech the mother, so the aver hayotzi is considered nevel. Not just considered. Even though it's learned down from the pasuk, basa wasara trefa, it's worse than a trefa. That's why the Gemara is going to use an expression, shchita oisa nipo. When you shech the mother, and the shchita is not chal on the eva hayotze lahatir b'achila, so that means the shchita is not chal on the eva hayotze. So the eva hayotze is an avela. You can't say it's chal lachatzoy. The shchita was chal legamri on the chelek over inside, so you got to make up your mind. If it's not chal on the eva hayotze with respect to lachila, so it's not chal on the eva hayotze with respect to tuma either. That's Rav Meir. And the Chachamim disagree. They say, no, it's a trefa. So just like Shechita's trefa is b'tayim ne'nevela, the Shechita the mother is chal on the uber that's inside legamrei, bein lahata b'achila bein tumas nevela, and it's chal on neighbor hayotze legabi tumas nevela, that it shouldn't have. It's like shechting a trefa, which menator there's no tuma, and midirabbanan it's metami kochim. Trefa shchut is metami kochim midirabban. That's the machlokes in the Mishnah.
Piece of shmata is less than gimel,
it's not makabel tumah. Right, it's not makabel tumah. You have to have a minimum amount to be called a piece of cloth. You have to have a minimum size that it should be called a kli. So you have to have the shear is gimel or gimel at boys. The shear gimel or gimel at boys, that's if it's beged semer or beged pishtit. The Mishnah has, that's if the beged is made from wool or the beged is made from linen. What if the beged is made from cotton? Then it's a different shear. So Rabbi Yitzchok Yochanan has in his Tshuvas HaShaila years ago, when the Rabbanim would have, the Balabatim would asked the rabbis to sell a chametz for them. So the Rambam says the minig is that you make a kinyan suder. Just like if you're acquiring, you want to sell me a house, you want to sell me an automobile. So I give you a handkerchief and I'm kind of with a kinyan suder, the automobile or the house. I want to acquire the power of attorney to be able to sell your chametz. So he says, the minig is, says, al pidin, there is no such thing and accomplish nothing and there's no need for it. But he says, that's the minig, that you give a handkerchief. The rabbi gives a handkerchief to Balabas to acquire the power of attorney to become the shliach. A man wants to appoint the shliach to give a get to his wife. He has the sefer, writes a get, and gives a get to the shliach, and he says, I want to appoint you as a shliach. So the shliach, the one who was appointed the shliach, gives a handkerchief to the husband. I want to acquire from you the power of attorney to function as your shliach. And then after he gives the handkerchief, so the husband gives over the power to serve as a shliach. The Rambam says there is no such thing, mikra din, but that's the minhag, that you do such a kinyan. So the Rabbanim in Europe, the minhag used to be, they used to wear woolen jackets, long jackets, so they would give the balabas the corner of the jacket. I remember Rabbi Breuer would still do it like that. He had long jackets, woolen. They would give him the corner of the jacket, so the balabas would pick it up like this. So what does that help? Because the corner of the jacket would be gimel or gimel etzboyas. And even though it's part of a long beged, and the Gemara says in Bava Metzia in the first paragraph, that's okay. If you're holding on to part of a beged, there's a part that's holding on under your hand, there's gimel gimel etzboyas, that's acceptable for kinyan suddah. So they asked Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan in the Tshuva, saying Yitzchak, they asked him, but the Mishnah says the shir gimel gimel etzboyas is only if it's beged semer or beged pishtim, if it's woolen garment or if it's linen. And now they started making cotton suits, so it's not woolen, it's not linen. So you need maybe you need a bigger shear than gimel al gimel. For the purpose of Kabbalah's Tumah, the shear is bigger than gimel al gimel. But maybe for the purpose of Kinyan Suda, also you need more gimel al gimel. So he says, no, he discovers mamash a needle in a haystack. He quotes a Tosfos, there's a Piske HaTosfos in the end of Bava Basra. We have Tosfos on all the Masechtas. And in the back, they give you the upshot of what Taisa said, Allah Lamaisa. So they give Piske HaTaisa. Every so often, you have a line in the Piske HaTaisa that doesn't appear in the Taisa itself. Here is Piske HaTaisa on page Kuf Mem Beis and Kuf Mem Gimel. So he quotes, Mamish like a needle in haystack. He quotes, there's a Piske HaTaisa in Baba Basra, where there's a Taisa discusses this topic a little bit. So the Piske HaTaisa adds on something we don't have in Taisa, that even if the beged, not semer, not pishtim, even it's cotton, some other material, and for the purpose of Kabbalah's Tumah, you would need more than a Gimel Gimel on Zboz, but for the purpose of Kinyan Suda, it does get up. If it's Gimel Gimel on Zboz, it's good enough. So that's why Yitzchak Hanan, he's Mekel, he says, as long as you get Gimel Gimel on Zboz, even though it's not Semer, it's not Pishtim, and it wouldn't be Mekabal Tumah, but for Kinyan Suda, it is good enough. Yeah. I don't think so. I think that people who sell these appliances, so they say, if you have a motor and you're going to toggle it in a mikveh, you're going to ruin the motor. So that you can't be toggled. If you just have an element and you toggle it in a mikveh, it doesn't ruin it. You have to. You shouldn't plug it in. You'll get a shock. You get electrocuted. You shouldn't plug it in until it dries off. Right. That's only an element on the bottom. Whenever you have a motor, if you table a motor in the mikveh, that'll get ruined. So that's a big shaila. The pashtus is, if you have a motor and you'll be table the whole thing in the mikveh, you'll ruin it. So you're not mechuyev in tefilas kel. You have a kli that you're supposed to be table, by being table, it'll ruin the whole kli, so it'll break it. So the pashtus is, you're not mechuyev to do tefilas kel. Others say, no, you got to do tefilas kel, and then you can't, so you have to give it to a goy. You have to make a shutfus for the goy. Kolzman still belongs to a goy. If a shutfus for the goy, so there's no mitzvah tefilas kel. Tefilas kel is like you megayer it. If it used to belong to a nachri, then you buy it from the nachri. It belongs to Israel, so then you have to be megayer the kel. But if it still belongs to a shutfus for the nachri, then it's not chayv in tefilas kel. That's a big shayla b'zman hazeh. We must have spoken about it. Everybody in your uncle is incorporated. All the companies who manufacture kelim, they're all incorporated. It's not owned by the private person. So according to the international din and the machus of all the countries in the world, the kelim that are manufactured by a factory that's incorporated, doesn't belong to the owner of the factory. It belongs to the dummy corporation. It belongs to the Chal Hashem Bailus, the dummy corporation. So the halacha recognizes such a Bailus, dummy corporation. Stok is a Chal Hashem Bailus, Hegdish is a Chal Hashem Bailus, Shevet Kohanim, Shevet Levim, it's a Chal Hashem Bailus. But the question is, does halacha recognize this Chal Hashem Bailus? So that was a big machloikis in the last 100 years. Rav Moshe Weinstein holds that halacha doesn't recognize this din of the machusa. We recognize the din of the machusa that it's limited liabilities. There's no shibir aguf. If I have shares in a corporation, so they can't chase after me, because that's understood in advance. The corporation means that I don't take any responsibility. Limited liabilities. Only shibir nechosim without shibir aguf. But to say that the halacha recognizes the din of machusa that it doesn't belong to me, belongs to the dummy corporation, I'm not sure that we wouldn't say like that. So if you have a Nochri owns a factory where they manufacture pots and pans, according to our Moshe, you need to be loskele with the bracha. And others disagree. They say, no, the halacha recognizes din of the machusa here. There is such a concept in halacha of a Chal Hashem Bailim, that's Tzedokah and Hegdish and Shevet Kun and Shevet Levi and so on. So the halacha, we recognize the din of machusa, so there's no need for tefillas kelim at all. Because the kelim, after they're made into forks and knives and the pots and pans, never belonged to a nachri. It belonged to a Chal Hashem Bailim, which is not a human being. So then you only need tefillas kelim if the kli, as a kli, not the raw material, belonged to a nachri. If the kli, after it was made into a kli, belonged to a nachri, and then you acquire ownership, so you have to be megayra the pots and the pans. But here they say it never belonged to a nachri. So that's why many poskim suggest maybe you should always do tefillas kelim without a bracha, because all the factories, all the companies where they manufacture pots and pans, they're all incorporated.
If you sell Kalem before Pesach by mistake, let's say together with the Hametz, you sell also the Kalem. So I've heard in the past that it's a big error because then you're going to have to
do tefillas kelim.
Why do you have to tovel it? Why can't you just leave it as is? Belongs to the God, meaning when you buy back, just buy back the Hametz, don't buy back the Kalem, and just keep using the Kalem.
The Nochem may come to your house and say, I want my Kalem, you never bought it back.
So then you'll give it to
him. Okay. You can do that. But usually, if the rabbi sold the Kalem, he made a mistake, then he usually will buy back the Kalem. So that was the title that the recent post can have, the last 100 years. You're not supposed to sell Kalem. Even though the Kalem have a Blias Chometz, but there's no Bal Yeroa and Blias Chometz. Only Bal Yeroa and Chometz on food. But there's no Bal Yeroa and pots and pans that have Chometz Balua in them. So there's no need to sell the Kalem. Unless you have Chometz stuck on the outside of the kli. Some women are sloppy balabustas, so they have baking tins and they have chunks of challah stuck to the baking tin, so that's edible. So then you have chametz stuck to the tin, so you have to sell the chametz that's stuck to the baking tin. But if you don't have chametz bien stuck on the tin, you just have blias chametz in the kelim, so there's no bayiroa in the blias. It's not right to sell the kelim. If you sell the kelim, then you have to do tefillas kelim. That is correct. No, tattoo is under the surface of the skin. That's not a chatzitza. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say they shot a bullet in my arm. And the Shulchan Aruch, they shot an arrow in the arm. The entire arrow is below the surface of the skin. Whatever is below the surface of the skin is not a chatzitza. But let's say I have a dye, I have ink. And I wash. And then part of the dye is absorbed in the skin. It's not on the surface. I kept on washing, I got off whatever I can get off. Whatever doesn't come off, that's not a chatzitza. Whenever you remove what's on the surface, it's not a chatzitza.
I was even calling between a wooden splinter and a metal one for the shach and a whole arichus, whether it was metal or wooden.
No. Don't know. Don't remember at all. Don't know. So the next Gemara, 7 lines down on Ein Gimel and Rav, the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir. The Chachamim have the opinion that the Eber HaYotze has Dina Ketreifa, because we might not have on the Pesach Basad, the Basad Basad is Treifa, and just like Shechita is Treifa, his Matar Medei Nevela, so too the Shechita of the Mother is Chal on the Uber, the Gamre, Chal on the Eber, Lachatzoy, it's Matar Medei Nevela, and the Rabbanon, it's Matami. So the Gemara says, where? There is no such Din. The Chacham, Emor Maga, Treifa Shechita, Vegmor Treifa Shechita, Mi Matami. There is no such Din. And the Gemara, yeah, there is a Din with the Rabbanon, and yes, Kid Yavur de Shmuel. Shmuel's father was also a Talmud Chacham. The Amar Avodah Shmuel, Shmuel's father said, Treifa Sheshachta, Metama Bim Ugdashim. That's what Rashi says, it's only Midrabbanan. It's not Minat Torah. Sometimes you have chumis in kachim that are min haTorah in tumah v'tahara, because in chulin either the thing is tamei or it's tahor. In kachim there's a psul tumah. That's where Moshe Marcha Epstein, he was the Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka. Before the war, and he moved the yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael to Hebron, and they had the Hebron massacre. They killed a lot of the Talmidim who were there at that time. Most of the Talmidim were away at a Oifruf. So they happened to be away that Friday afternoon, when they killed everybody. But those who were there, they killed. So he has a sefer on Bob Metzia, famous Levush Mordecha on Bob Metzia, and then he has on Kochim. So he has this famous Shtikl Torah that people say over the rest of the things that he has are not so famous. This one is famous. Habas Hashiga b'chal tomei lo yeochel. It's a pasuk in Chumash. If you have b'sar kochim that touches a tomei, lo yeochel, you're not allowed to eat. So he says, not only if it was mekabel tumah, and the kochim is tomei, even if for some reason or another the kochim was not mekabel tumah, it's a psul tumah. Habas Hashiga b'chal tomei lo yeochel. If b'sar kochim touches a double tomei, it has a psul tumah even though it's not mekabel tumah. That's how he understands the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara talks about Chibas HaKodesh, that normally Ochel Marolim Mekabel Tumah if they were rinsed off with water. I want to design Mashkim in advance. Hechsha Mashkim Chiyuta Mayim Alzera. So you have to rinse it off first. And Kochim, the Gemara has, there's a Chumra Maila. Like this Rashi and Tez, whether it's a Maila Derais, a Maila Derabbanon, Chumra Derais, Chumra Derabbanon, that Besar Kochim, even if it was never rinsed off, is becomes pasul lachin, not allowed to eat it if it touches a dove tummy, even though it's never hoch shel kabel tumah. So how are you supposed to understand that? So usually everybody understands it because before you wash off an apple, it's not called roi lachilo because it's dirty. Mother says don't eat the apple without washing it off. It may have germs, may have dust, may have dirt on it. Okay, once you wash it off, then it's called roi lachilo. Even though one of the zayin mashkim is dumb, so I had a nice clean apple that was polished, that's not called roi lachilo. When I wash it off with dam, then it becomes roi lachilo. So that does make sense. So that's a leitlug. That's a leitlug deraisa. You have to rinse it off with one of the zayin mashkim. One of the zayin mashkim is dam, even though washing it off with dam makes it a bigger problem as far as lachilo is concerned. But that's halacha. Kol zman you didn't wash it off, it doesn't have a shem meichel. And after you wash it off, it has a shem meichel. And it's not a mekabel tumah, it has a shem meichel. So in kochim, we say it is meichel. It's a mitzvah to eat it. It's a mitzvah lachilo, even if you don't rinse it off. So that's usually assumed to be the pshat. That chibas hakodesh machshir rasam, you don't need to rinse it off with one of the zayin mashkim because the Torah declares it as meichel. So Moshe Mordechai Epstein has in his sefer Levush Mordechai on kochim, he suggests a different word. If the kochim was never huchshel the kabel tumah, so it's not the kabel tumah, but it's a psul tumah. The pasuk has to read habasa shigi b'chol tami lo yeyachel. Even though the basa was never huchshel, but a davar tami touched it, so it has a psul tumah. And he tries to explain more dinim based on that. That's a famous word from the Levush Mordechai.
So what is a psul tumah?
That you can't eat it.
So the same thing. So it turns out to be the
same thing. No, even though it was never mekabel tumah. Usually say when kachim is mekabel tumah, so it's possible you can't eat it. Here it's a chiddush. Abbas hashiga lechal tumah. If it touches a davar tumah, even though the touching didn't succeed in making a tumah, still lo yachal.
So results are the same.
Results are the same. Yeah. But he's explaining why you don't need the hechsher mashkin.
This psul tumah and kachim, if it touches other kachim, won't make a tummy.
Will not make a tummy, right. Will not make a tummy. Correct. Because it was never mekabel tumah, it just became a psul. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is. What do you mean? The Mishnah says the Chachamim disagree with Ramein. They say it's maga trefa shchuto, trefa shchut mi mitamim. Where it says, yes, kidei abu adishmo. The Shmuel's father said, trefa shishachta mitamim mekdoshim and tzalni midirabon. Yeah. And then the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that Eva Hayotze, the Shechita is not chal at all. Because he argues, if the Shechita is chal and Eva Hayotze, it should be muta bachila. The answer is not chal, muta bachila, so it can't be chal again to the time of the Nevela. The same Shechita on the mother is chal on the mother 100%, on the Uber inside 100%, and the Eva Hayotze 50%. It's chal on Eva Hayotze with respect to the time of the Nevela, it's not chal ben again to heter achila. How can it be? The same one shechita is chalachat. So Rameh says it cannot be. And the Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara quotes, Ma treifa, what does it say? Ma motzina betreifa, sheshchitas metaros, af shechitas behema, tetayer es ha'ever. That's the Chachamim disagree with the Rameh. They say, if you shech the mother, so the Eva Yotzi is dinner kit treifa. It's learned up in the Pasuk, basa basa the treifa. And shechitas treifa is chal. Tanya, Amalem Rameh. So Rameh presents his argument. It cannot be that the shechita on the mother is chal on the mother legamre, chal on the uber inside legamre, and chal on the eber hayotzi lachatzoyin. Either it is chal, it's not chal. That's when he tanya lechemite aro leibaze midei nevelo. Why should you say it's matam de nevelo shechita simo? The shechita on the mother is chal on the eber hayotzi im kein tatirene bachilo. So let it be muta bachilo. Meimon of shoch amru lo. So they argue with him. The other tanoim argue with Rameir. And they say the argument just doesn't read straight. They say, "Harbe matzelas al she'eno gufo, yoisa migufo." The shechita is chal on parts of the animal that are not attached to the animal, more so than it is attached to Sharei Shanina. We have a Mishnah. We learned that Mishnah. If you have a behemoth muberes and a ben pekul, you have a vlad inside, and you cut part of the vlad and you leave it. Let's say a shechta mother, and the uber inside is dead already. You can't shech the dead uber. But if the mother's alive and the uber inside is dead, so the shechit on the mother is chal on the uber, and it's not in the veli. You're allowed to eat it. Or let's say you cut off a limb from the uber and you left it inside, then you shech the mother. So the shechit on the mother is chal not only on the mother, it's chal on the uber, and it's chal on the limb that's inside the rechem of the mother. But if you have a cow and you're about to shech it, and then you cut part of the limb inside the kishkas, he sticks his hands into the kishkas of the behema, and he cuts an aver inside, and he leaves it there, and then he shechts the cow. The cow is not pregnant. He shechts the cow, and before he shechts it, he cuts off a limb from the cow. So the Mishnah says that the shechita is not chal on the aver of the cow itself. Shechita is only chal on the aver that was detached from the uber that's still inside the rechem. But if he cut off part of the cow itself, it's not chal. So that Mishnah was quoted by the Chachamim to demonstrate Harbe Matzelas Al Sheinu Gufa Yosem Igufa. If you cut off a limb from the uber and it's still inside the rechem, the shechita on the mother will be chal to be matarid bachila. But if you cut off a limb of the mother herself and you shech the mother, so the shechita is not chal on the limb from the mother. So you see that shechita is more chal on the external, on the limbs of the uber, than on the limbs of the mother. What has got to do with what we're discussing? What are they trying to prove from that point? So the Gemara says it just doesn't read straight. The Gemara asks, "My Omar, the sentence doesn't read straight. How are they responding to what Rameir said?" Omar Rava, we have this brisa. So Tanya, said brisa. Omar Rava, I'm going to tell you what it means. Army lo kiddi, and others say it over without the name of Rava. Kiddi means in the yeshiva, flegmazon. The pshat and the brisa chisurim mechzav avachikdani. There's a line missing in the brisa. You got to read it like this, and then the Gemara is going to say, "Yeah, we have another brisa that has beferish." The correction of Rava made a Hagor, and there's a brisa that reads like his correction. The Gemara says either Rava said, Amrilo, another Russian has it kiddi, it was said in Yeshiva Stoma, not in the name of anybody, that there's a missing line, Chisur Mechsav Akhtani, should read like this. Amalam Rameir argued, Manavshach, if the Shechit on the mother is Chal on the Aver, let it be Mata Bachila. If it's not Chal to be Mata Bachila, how can it be Chal Achatzain? To be mitayin anyway. The shechita on the mother is chal on the mother legamre, chal on the uber inside legamre, chal on the eber hayotzi lachatzoyin. There is no such mechimiti or lebezem idein avela shechita simen kein tatirene machil let it be muta machil. Amar lo, so the chachamim disagreed. They said no, trei for tochiach. Why trei for tochiach? The eber hayotzi is in the same pasuk basam asar a trei for. So if you shecht an animal, that's a trei for the shechita is chal lachatzoyin. Shechita is chal to be matar min nevela, but it's not chal la'at ba'achila. See, you shech the mother, so the shechita on the mother is chal on eber hayotze, which is included in pasuk al treifa, only vis-a-vis the tar min nevela, and not chal la'at ba'achila. That's what the chachamim argue. Omer lo'i said, the chacham disagreed with Rav Meir, treifa tochech, shechita is mataras min nevela, ve'ena matiras ba'achila. Omer lo'i, so Rav Meir answers back, lo'i, no tzushto, im tiharto, when you shecht an animal that is a trefa, has a broken leg, before you start shechting, you know it's a trefa. It's also bachila. But you did a perfect job on the shechita. So the shechita is matam dein avel because you did the shechita on the behema. But Tomer over here, what are you going to say over here? I'm shechting the mother and the eber hayotzei. So I'm saying the shechita of the mother is chal on the mother legamre, chal on the uber that's inside legamre, chal on the eber hayotzei lachatzoin. Why should it be lachatzoin? You're not shechting the eiver ayotze. The tyrus are eiver. Dovish ain't a gufa. The shechita on the treifa. They did the shechita on the treifa. Yeah, did shechita on the mother. And the eiver ayotze is the nikat treifa. So why should you say that it's chal? That's what Rav Meir argued. Amrulai said he answered back, doesn't Ishken Taina Fakir. Harbi Matzalis the Chachamim answered back. Harbi Matzalis Shashena Gufa Yasami Gufa Shareshaninu. The Chachamim answered back to Rab Meir, you're telling me it's more mistaper to say if you shech the trefa that it's Matam de Nevela than if you shech the behemoth which is not a trefa and has a limb that's sticking out, that's Dinika trefa, that the Shechita and the mother should be chal on the Eva Hayotzi the Tarmi de Nevela. So Rab Meir says it doesn't make sense. If you shech the treif itself, the shechita is mentar min nevela. He is shechting the mother, so the shechita and the mother is harder to relate to the eva yotzi. So they answered back, no. We see from the Mishnah that it's easier. That if you cut off part of the limbs of the uber, if the uber would be dead inside the rechem of the mother, you shech the mother, the shechita is chal on the uber. Even though it's nevela, it's mata b'achila. If you cut off a limb from the uber, you leave it inside the rechem, the shechita is mata that limb b'achila. But if you cut off a limb from the animal itself, and the mother herself, then the shechita is not mata that b'achila. So you see, harbe, the shechita on the mother is more mistaber that it's chal on the uber than chal on herself. That's the argument Rav Meir has said, that if you shecht a trefa, you're shechting the animal itself. You shecht the mother, and the eva is a trefa, you want the shechita of the mother to relate to dovah she'ena gufa. So Rav Meir said, that's weaker. So they said, farkert, it's stronger. Harper matzalos she'ena gufa, yes, mi gufa, they brought it right. Then the Gemara said, this is what Rava suggested, how you have to read the braisa. Then they say, Tanya lami hochi, there's enough in the braisa, it has everything spelled out. That's chisur mech zvacha katani, what Rava said is correct. You have the hagos habach on the side, so we're not sure whether the Bach's Haggos, did he base it on Kisviyad? Did he base it on other manuscripts? Is he always right? We're not sure. But the Gemara says over here, Rava made a suggestion. Chisur Mechzav Avachah Katani tells you how you have to amend the text of the Braisa. You have to add another line. Then they said, Tanya Lam Yochi. There's a version of the Braisa that has the whole thing spelled out. Om Lam Rav Meir, V'chimiti Haru Leiva Zeh Midei Nevelo. Rav Meir says, how do you say the Shechita on the mother is matar midei nevela the uber? Omelo shechita simo. So they said you shechted the mother. So Rav Meir tainis back in kain tatarena b'achila. Manav shach. Omelo no treifa dochiach. No, the eva yotze is dinik treifa. That's the pasuk basad that has a din. So just like shechitas treifa dochiach, shechitas matarasim midei nevela, veinam matarasa b'achila. The same over here. Omelo hem. So Rav Meir answered back, no, if he's shechting a treifa, he's shechting the animal itself, so that's Matam Deinabel. He is shechting the mother, and the Eva Yotze is a trick, so Matam Shechita, the mother, to be Chal on the Uber, that's not as good as shechting the animal itself. So Amulah said, he said, Fakert, if anything, it says more reason. So they showed there's a Brysa that says Beferish, like Rabbis Haggah in the Brysa. Okay. Then Gemara is going to start a new discussion. For that word Basada, he learned, Kivin Shiyotze Basu Chutzlam Chitzase Nesar, I treat it like a trefa. I treat it like a treifa. So from that pasuk we learn out a few dinim. One din we learn out kotch kotch mshiotzu chutz la'azora, kotch mkam shiotzu chutz li'mishalayim, aver of the uber shiotzu chutz l'rechem ha'aim, and a fourth din basa ve'eva hamadundol mehem ha'chay v'yoy. Hashech the kosher animal, a kosher bird, and there's a limb that's limp, that is not really attached. It's broken off. But it's still held by the skin. The outside of the skin is there. So it's not really being supplied with the blood supply from the rest of the animal. It's really dead stuff. So when you shech the animal, even though it broke in a location that it doesn't make the whole chicken and the whole animal into a trefa, but you can't eat that eiver hamaduldol. Basav eiver hamaduldol, behem b'chayv yov, that's basada. That's called kivin shiotza basa, chutz l'mechitzasa. What's chutz l'mechitzasa? Mechitzasa is the part of the animal that's attached the way it's supposed to be. And the eva hamaduldo that's hanging on, which doesn't function, it's not part of the nervous system, not part of the blood circulation, and so on, that's also chutz l'mechitzasa. So Gemara is going to have a machlekes, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lokesh, two versions of a machlekes, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lokesh. This machlekes, Rav Meir, in the Chachamim, in the Mishneh, whether the shechita on the mother is mitar minei nevela on the eva hayotze, is it only on the eva hayotze? Would it even apply to the bus of the eva hamadudolim b'behem chayviyot? So the Gemara is going to go into the details of that. They say, where exactly is there a machlekes zarmei nachacham? Okay. We're soon going to get to the part that's really halacha l'maisa. Okay. Next up, my endowment. In Parshas Behar, by the Ekkes, they have a special piyut that they recite on Parshas Bahar, because Parshas Bahar has a din. Achri nimka gulo tiyalo. If a person sold himself as an eved ivri because he ran out of money, so the kroivim can beguile him, can force the adon who bought him to free him from being an eved ivri. So achri nimka gulo tiyalo in the piyutim that they recite means after the Rabban Shalom sold us as avadim to the umas olam, we were sent into golos, we can still have gula. The Rabban Shalom is our relative, avinu. So he has a mitzvah to redeem us. If gula is kroivim, he should redeem us from being avadim. So the parsha has a din of gula if a person sold himself as an eved ivri, or if a person sold as the achuza, the two types of ownership in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, there's no steachuza, ste mikna doesn't apply. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a steachuza, a field that I got birusha from my father, he got it from his father, all the way back till Yeshua ben Nun. That's the steachuza. And there's an inyan, a person should never give up his ownership of the steachuza. More correct is that we should retain the chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. They made a chalukah of the shvatim, and then the mishpachas, and then the yechidim. So whoever got a section in Eretz Yisrael should retain his ownership, shouldn't give it away. So even if he was broke, he was broke, he needed money, and he had to sell his de'achuza, so then we allow him to buy it back. If he gets money later on, so a rich uncle dies and he gets a Yerusha, we allow him to buy back this de'achuza that he sold. If he sold the de'mikneh, it's not his b'toris Yerusha, he bought it from someone else, then he can't pressure the lekeach to sell it back to him. But if he sold the de'achuza, then he can pressure him to sell it back. So that's a din in the Chumash. If I sold this, the achuza, so there's a din, I can buy it back. If I get money from a rich uncle, I get Yerusha. Or my kroivim, there's gulas kroivim, the kroivim can buy it back. So in the Haftarah, comes from the Novi Yirmiyo, the Haftarah talks about a minig that they had in the days of the Nevi'im. It's not really the din in the Chumash. If you have a steachuza and you're holding by selling it, so rather than sell it to a stranger and have the relative go buy it back from the stranger, sell it to a relative, so you won't get involved in the whole story. So Eretz Yisrael is under siege by the Babylonian armies. Yirmiyahu Novi was one of the Nevi'im who said b'nevuah, he prophesied there's going to be a churban by Yisrishayin, and he went into Golas Bavel, and he had nevuah in Har Kvar in Bavel. He's the one who wrote Megillas Eicha. So he's in Yerushalayim, and the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, and real estate is absolutely worthless. It doesn't make sense to buy any real estate. Babylon is going to conquer the whole country. They're going to kill everybody. They're going to send the people into Golas. They won't have ownership of the field. So he gets a nevuah from the Rabbi Shalom. Your cousin is coming from the city of Nasos, and he needs money. So he wants to sell his field in the city of Nasos. Go buy the field from your cousin. Absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. The field is worthless. The Babylonian armies are about to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Any day they're going to conquer it. The real estate is worthless. So he doesn't ask the kasha of the Rabban Shalom. He does what the Rabban Shalom tells him. And the Pesukim say he was told to fill out two shtaris, the Sefer Goloi and the Sefer HaChasum. The Gemara in the end of Gittin talks, the Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, there's a perik in the end of Baba Basra that's called Get Poshut. The word Get in the Gemara doesn't always mean a divorce. Get means a shtar. So when you sell a field also, when you write a shtar halva, it's also called a Get. Get halva. We in modern language, we only use the word get for getting divorced. But strictly speaking, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, get can mean a shtar. So there was a Sefer HaGolui, there's a shtar, a get pashut, where the whole shtar is written on one side of the page. Like a ksuba at a wedding, or a tanoim, by the couple gets engaged, or a get. Everything is written on one side, or by the balabatim, sign up by the rabbi, they appoint him as a shtar hashor, they appoint the rabbi as a shliach. Well, some rabbis have a shtar mechira, so the balabatim sign that they're selling directly to the goy. They sign themselves, so that's the shtar mechira. Everything is written on one side of the page, and all the chasim is on the same page. So that's the get poshut. Everything is open to the public. Then there's a get mekushar, where they would, many would be, there are different opinions what it is. So the pashtus is they would write a few lines, then they would fold it over, then they would sew it up. And then they would have somebody sign on the back. Then we write another couple of lines, then they would fold that over and sew it up, and then they would have another eight sign on the back. So the din is, if you have a get poshut, everything's written on one side of the page, you have to have two witnesses. You want to have more gezinta, hey, but you don't need more than two witnesses. I remember once I was at a wedding, so there was a misunderstanding between the kala's father and the chasen's father. One of them thought he's supposed to bring two eidim, and one of them thought he's going to bring one eid, I'll bring one eid. So when it came to signing the ksuba, three people stepped forward. So what are they going to do? So we had all three sign. There's no avir. You can have three people sign the ksuba. You don't need three, but two is enough. But if you have three, you're going to hate. But on a get from Kusha, the Mishnah says you have to have at least three. Because have a little bit written, and it's sewn down, then you have one signature, have a little bit more written, fold it over, sewn down. You have to have at least three folds, but three signatures on the back. The whole thing is complicated. So the Pasuk says here, when Yirmiyahu Novi bought the field from his cousin in Anasa, that was worthless, he doesn't understand why he's buying this field, it's worthless. So he wrote two shtaras. He wrote a get Pasha, then a get Mekusha. Doesn't make any sense. Why did he need two shtaras? So he does what the Rebbe Shalom instructs him to do, and after he finishes, he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Shalom, Hinei HaSololos Bohu Ha'il HaLochta. The enemy armies are coming, they're going to destroy the whole city. All of the real estate is worthless. Why in the world did he tell me to buy the real estate for so much money? My cousin needs money. It's worthless. So the Haftarah ends off. The Rebbe Shalom answers him, Hinei, Hine ani Hashem alakei kol basar habimani amimeli yipalei kol davar. You think I don't know what I'm doing? I know what I'm doing. And after it ends off with that note, when you look in the Sefer Yirmiyahu, you read another few psukim, he tells you, Rabban Shalom tells Yirmiyahu Navi what the kavana was. You're right that the field is worthless right now. You're gaining nothing out of it. The Babylonian army is going to take over the whole Eretz Yisrael, but this is a similar banecha. I told the Jews they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael after the 7 years of Golus Babel. So you hold on to the shtar and you put it away in a klicheres leman yamdu yamim rabim, shall last for a long time, and the Jews should know you are not going to come back. You'll die before that. So your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, they're going to hold the shtar. They're going to come back and they'll get Eretz Yisrael back. So that's the purpose of this. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, why does Yirmiyahu Novi wait to ask the kasha till after it's all finished, after he buys it? Should he ask the kasha right away? Why did he tell me to buy the field? So he said, no, if you know what your chayvas ha'adam, if the Rebbe Shalom gives you a clear nevuah, he wants you to buy the field, that's it. Even if it doesn't make any sense, you have to buy the field. So he gave the mashal from Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that Kibi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera. Forget about Yishmael, forget about Eliezer. Kibi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera. He's going to carry over the tradition of Yiddishkeit. Then he tells him later on, Kachnas Binchas Chitcha Shahaftas Yitzchak, bring him as a korban oila. So it's already a steer. How can you tell me halei li oila? He told me bitzal likor el chazer. If I'm going to shecht him, he's not going to get married. Won't have any children. He was single at the time. Doesn't make sense. So Avraham Avinu doesn't ask the kasha. The Rebbe Shlom told him that he has to bring him as an oila. So he's prepared to shecht him. It was crystal clear to Avraham Avinu he has to bring him as a korban oila. After the Malach tells him atish lachar chalanav atas lo miuma, then he finished the whole tzivui hanevuah. Then he asked the Rebbe Shalom, explain to me what just happened now. First you told me Yitzchak is going to carry over Yiddishkeit, not Yishmael and not Eliezer, my Evid. It's going to be Yitzchak. And then you tell me, Haleo Shem Leolosh, bring him as a Korban. Then you tell me, Atish Halachalana. Everything contradicts everything else. But he doesn't refrain from doing the Tzivei Hashem because he has a Kasha. If we know what we're mechuyev to do, even if it doesn't make any sense to us, we're mechuyev to do it. That's a religious Jew does what is mechuyev. We don't give the Rebbe Shalom a grade. On those mitzvahs that sound good, we give him an A, and we're going to do it. Those mitzvahs that don't make any sense, we're going to give him an F, and we're not going to do those mitzvahs. There are people who act like that. That's not Kabbalah Samach Shmami. You're mechuyev to do a mitzvah, so you do it, even if you think it absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So Avraham Avinu does the mitzvah, even though it doesn't make sense. So Yirmiyahu Novi does the same. He buys the field, even though it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. It's worthless. Rabbi Shalom told him, buy the field from your cousin. But then the Rabbi Shalom tells him, he asks, after he does the mitzvah, the Meiri has pshat in the pasuk and tell him like that. Dovra Mal says, Tuv tam edas lamdeni ki mitzvah secha ha'amonti. So the Meiri interprets, I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway. Even if it doesn't make sense to me, I have a munna. Ki, the Gemara says, Ki Mishamish Badal Lodashan, the word Ki has more than one translation, more than one definition. So the Ibn Ezra writes that sometimes the word Ki means despite the fact, sometimes means because, sometimes means despite the fact. So here it means, Tuv Tamad Aslam Deinu Rebbeinu Shel Olam, explain to me the Tamei HaMitzvahs, despite the fact I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway, whether I understand it or I don't understand. Ki B'mitzvah Secha Emonte, despite the fact I have a moon, I'm going to do it anyway, but explain to me what the mitzvahs are all about. So that's what Avraham Avinu does, that's what Yirmiyahu Novi does. Absolutely didn't make any sense whatsoever. You have to do the mitzvahs because that's clear. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom told you. Then the Rebbeinu Shlom explains to him why he told him to put away the shtar, l'man yam, why should he buy? It should be a similar banecha. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik explained about the get poshut and the get mekusha. That in life, there are a lot of things that are very clear. If you invest your money over here, you're going to make money. Invest money over there, you're going to lose your money. There are things that are clear. Then there are a lot of things in life that are absolutely not clear. You don't know what's in store in the future. So that's why he told him to write two shtoris on the same here. What do you write, two shtoris? He wrote a Sefer HaGoloi, Sefer HaGoloi, where everything is clear. You read on one side of the page what the kinyan is, and they have signatures on the bottom. So that represents those things in life that are clear. And the Sefer HaChosim is all folded over and stitched together. You can see signatures on the outside, but you can't see the text of the shtar. You have to rip the whole thing apart by pulling out all of the stitches, then you'll be able to read it. So much of life is really a Sefer HaChosim. So that's what he told Yirmei HaNavi, you need over here a Sefer HaChosim. You don't realize that it's going to be a geula from Golas Bavel in another 70 years. You'll come back, and your grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, will be able to claim this field in Anosas. You'll buy it now. It doesn't make any sense. But you'll be able to use this shtar in another 70 years to get the karka back. That was a recurrent theme in Rav Soloveitchik's droshes. You have a lot of times goloi and seisa. Some things are obvious and some things are hidden that we don't know. So in all of life, there's a lot of times a lot of things are safer goli, a lot of things are safer chosim. So that's what the Rebbeinu Shem told Yirmei HaNavi, should buy the field, even though it didn't make sense.
Okay.